This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Lonely Planet just got a little less lonely with Chris Zaya on Joy Drive.
Chris Zaya, I'm so excited to see you because I feel like it's been years. I know it hasn't been that long.
But I know. I miss 1 week or 1 fortnight and it feels like forever.
Everything's collapsed.
We had a little reunion moment, didn't we, when I walked in the studio that was like, oh, I haven't seen you forever.
I know. It's so exciting. But where have you been? Because you've been travelling, obviously.
Oh, I've been all over the place. I had a week in London. Then there is the big International Rights Book Fair in Germany, Frankfurt Book Fair. So I was over there for that. It's always really, really full on, But I love it because they also invite the general public. So it's not just you selling your books to kind of to be translated into other languages, but and it's open to a lot of cosplay. So you get this really interesting kind of mix of younger and sort of like, you know, middle aged people in these crazy costumes coming past your stand, and I just love it. It's like there's a unicorn, there's a troll, there's a dominatrix. It's brilliant. I love it.
So you had a stand there?
Yeah, we always do.
And it was really popular.
Yeah, very popular. And then back here, and I'm down to do the publicity trial for Lonely Planet's Best in Travel, which has just dropped.
So it has just dropped last week. It's Best in Travel 2024. What is it about?
Yeah, so every year a lot of travel companies do their kind of best in kind of lists. Ours is slightly different. We've been doing this for about 16, 17 years. The way that we put our list together is it's always looking forward. So why would you go to somewhere in the year to come? So what is it? Is there something happening? Is there a big event? Is there, you know, better accessibility into that particular destination? Is it somewhere that you may have gone to on a school trip back in the 80s and it's in your head as look at one way, but we're actually really challenging you to think about it's actually really redefined or reinvigorated itself and it feels like something else. So it's a really, really eclectic and interesting list. There's five lists of 10. So we do the best countries, the best cities, the best regions, the best value, and value is value for money. It's not necessarily budget. It's about getting a value out of the
experience. So it could be an expensive holiday, but it's still good value.
It's still good value. And then a top 10 sustainable travel experience.
Oh, I want to go through some of these.
Look at you. You're like,
ooh. How do places make it to the list? Like, what sort of things do you look for?
Yeah, so what we do is we've actually done a call out right now for Best in Travel 2025.
Oh, wow. Would you believe? You are ahead of the game.
Yeah, so what we do is we do a big call out to all of our community. So that's our travel writers that are on the road, and there's about 350 of them at any one point in time. All our internal staff, some of our really influential social community as well, do a big kind of call out, create a long list. From there, that's whittled down to a short list by a panel, and then that goes to a very secret judging panel that nobody knows who's on the judging panel. I've been on the judging panel 3 times, which is very exciting.
But you weren't allowed to tell.
You don't know the other judges until it's all done. So it's all done very secret squirrel. You're given a set of a scoring criteria grid. You have to do lots and lots of analysis and reading and kind of look at the reasons why you put your scores in, goes in as tabulated, and the list comes out. And for us as staff, it's so exciting because it's kind of like travel Christmas. We get to unwrap it all and like, oh, why did that make the list? So it's exciting for us too.
I'm glad you mentioned that is the methodology behind it, because often I think, okay, if someone recommends places to go, there must be kickbacks, you know, there must be reasons. It's like the tour bus turning up at the local, you know, fish and chip shop and getting a kickback. Yeah. You often think that. So yours is an authentic sort of secret squirrel process.
So I can tell you something very secret.
Okay.
I shouldn't probably reveal this. It's like
your mic's turned off, Chris.
Excellent, excellent. So we actually, under the Freedom of Information Act, got all of our journalists in a particular country actually asked for all our email correspondence between ourselves and a tourism organisation, because they really believed that tourism organisation had bought its way on the list.
Right.
And so we were able to prove very, very that the first correspondence that we'd actually had with the tourism organisation was to let them know that, that they were on the list and the piece had already been written. So there is, yeah, it's really done very, like, that's an integral part of who we are as a brand. And we do work with the tourism organisations after the list is created, because what we want to do is we want to make sure they are able to maximise the announcement as well, because some of these regions are really small and they want to get, you know, we want to give them the most bang for their buck as well out of this.
And also, I suppose you don't want to recommend somewhere that everyone goes there and goes, well, what were they talking about? I couldn't get in, I couldn't get accommodation.
And we also want to manage the expectation of over-tourism as well, because we are highlighting potentially some harder to get to places or some regional communities, and we want to work with that tourism organisation to talk to travellers about how to make sure that they travel in a really respectful and sustainable way.
Were there any surprises for you in particular when you saw the results and you went, I'm shocked at that?
Yeah, the number one country just blew me away.
What was the number one country?
So I just, when I looked at the list, I was like, really? Why, tell me more? And I've not been there hand on heart.
He's not telling us. Notice he's not telling us. He's delaying it.
So I on one interview, they played the national anthem for me that I did last week, which was bizarre. So it's Mongolia.
Mongolia.
Would you believe?
And
when I did a deep dive into why Mongolia, I kind of understand it. It's very crowd-free. Really, it's apparently one of the emptiest countries in the world. But they've actually, to gather tourism, they're allowing Australians and Kiwis a 30-day free visa, so you no longer have to apply to actually visit. And it's actually relatively easy to get to. So quick flight to Hong Kong, and then Hong Kong across to Ulaanbaatar, which is the capital, and you're in the heart of Mongolia. It is fascinating, like, to actually have a look at some of those wide vistas, and this is the place where you'll see the locals on horseback. There's yurts. Wow. There's incredible experiences. The Trans-Siberian cuts through Mongolia as well back in the day. But obviously it's sandwiched between Russia and China. So there's been kind of like, it's this weird country in the middle that's big, but kind of sandwiched between these two kind of superpowers.
It's been on my list of places to go, I must admit.
Everyone that we've spoken to, like, particularly when you go out and do this publicity, you know, general public comes back with a lot of feedback. They've all said what an amazing time they've had when they've gone to Mongolia, and that they would go back in a heartbeat.
Fantastic.
So I absolutely love that that's made the list, and it's piqued my interest too. So I've all of a sudden got Mongolia on my best.
We know where Chris's next holiday is going to be. So the number one country is Mongolia. We're chatting with Travel with Chris Zaya from Lonely Planet about the best in travel list for 2024, which was just announced last week. You pricked my ears up when you said there was a sustainable list. What is the sustainable list about?
Yeah, so sustainable is an interesting one for us, because this is all about making sure that we, you know, recognising destinations that are trying to move towards a carbon zero option, and also recognising places that are trying to do things in a way that is cutting down on flights, diversifying where people are going. And the interesting one that topped this list, and it doesn't feel obvious, is Spain. So Spain, you kind of think maybe Barcelona, maybe Madrid, or potentially further afield to places like San Sebastian. But what Spain is really doing is they've increased their rail network, and they're doing, like, very, very cheap rail fares to get more tourists out into more regions. And what I love about this is we know that travel money is really important in local economies. So what happens is when people spend locally, that money gets reinvested into local communities, either building businesses or employing locals, those kind of bits and pieces. So if we can spread the traveller demographics into some of these other regions, it just means that that money actually gets diversified and doesn't all stay in Barcelona or it doesn't all stay in Madrid, which I absolutely love.
So travel by train if we go to Spain.
Travel by train. And they're cutting down on internal flights as well. So
great.
There's this big kind of like push to make train travel in Spain and exploring wider, and hence why it's got the top of the sustainable list.
Sustainable list. Now, there's another list, value list. What's on that one?
And so value, I find, a really interesting proposition, because value is not necessarily about being cheap or budget. It's about a value of the experience, or getting value for money. So it might actually be a little bit more expensive, but, you know, you're actually getting a bit of bang for your buck. And there's two ones that really strike me on this list, and they're ones really close to home. So that's the Southern Lakes and Central Otago in New Zealand.
Not far.
Not far. And it's not about the wineries this time around. It's actually about a whole heap of interlinking cycles local trails. So it's about, yes, it might be a little bit exy to get to New Zealand, mm-hmm. but once you're there, you can actually get into Queenstown, hire a bike and do all these kind of interlocking cycling trips. So you're kind of cutting down on your needing a car hire and bits and pieces there.
Do you stay in Queenstown? Do you cycle back? Are they day trips?
You can go all the way around, and eventually by 2025, they'll actually link Queenstown with Dunedin.
Oh,
so
really?
You'll actually be able to cycle all the way across if that floats your boat.
It's beautiful country though.
Yeah, gorgeous. And I think, you know, when you look at places like, if you look at seasons like autumn and spring, brilliant times to be able to kind of experience that as well. The other one that's really come back with a vengeance is night trains in Europe.
Oh.
So it feels very 1990s. I know NSYNC's reforming, so why can't night trains come back, right? So night trains have become very popular again because people are readopting train travel instead of using flights.
Which I think is fantastic.
It's the European thing now. Mm. Like people are jumping on the trains. But what I love about night trains is you don't need a hotel. So yeah, so you're basically sleeping on the train. You can get to the train station, get one of these fancy new lockers, pop your luggage and bits and pieces in that, explore a city, get back on another night train and you're in another new city. So you don't necessarily need that kind of hotel expenditure that we have anywhere else. So I love that that's back as a train.
You just reminded me, I caught a night train from Barcelona to Paris. Mm-hmm. And of course it goes over the border and somewhere in Barcelona, they took my passport and my friend said to me, that was fake. That wasn't a real person. You've just had your passport stolen. Of course it wasn't. I spent the whole night panicking going, oh my goodness, my passports disappeared, but it turned out it was okay and I got it back the next morning.
And a lot of those countries don't have that border checking anymore. Mm. Like that you won't be woken up in the middle of the night and kind of like, give me your passport. And it's like, oh my Lord, am I in hostel? What's going on? That doesn't happen so much anymore.
But it is great. Night trains. I love traveling by train. I think it's one of the best ways. And I'm so glad that you guys have got a sustainable list. If we want to look at this in a bit more detail, where do we go? Where do we get it?
Oh, you can go everywhere. So there's so you can jump online to lonelyplanet.com and you'll see the full list there with a whole heap of really inspo videos. There's a great video on Mongolia in particular to give a sense of that vastness. But it's also available as a book product. So where all good books are sold, Lonely Planet's Best in Travelers Back is a handy little gift for Christmas.
Fantastic. Chris, where are you off to next?
I'm actually off to New York. On Sunday, would you believe? Just got back a little bit home, throw myself on a plane again, I'm out. So New York for a week and a bit, so which is good. I'll try and get a Broadway show in there, I think.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You can do a review when you come back.
I can. I'm going to try and see Back to the Future.
Oh, great.
So as a Broadway show, so that's total aside. People down the air don't need to know that today.
So. Chris, always good to see you.
Thanks, Warren.
Thanks for coming in, and we'll talk to you in a fortnight when you're jet lagged from New York.
Have fun.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, mate.
That's Chris Dyer from Lonely Planet, and the list is called Best in Travel 2024.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.